So I want you to get up now. I want all of you to get up out of your chairs. I want you to get up right now and go to the window, open it, and stick your head out and yell, "I'm as mad as hell, and I'm not going to take this anymore!"
Time to play the game. Time to play the game! It's all about the game, and how you play it, all about control. And if you can take it, all about your stand. And if you can play it, it's all about pain. And who's gonna make it? I am the game, you don't wanna play me. I am control, no way you can shake me. I am heavy debt, no way you can pay me. I am the pain, and I know you can't take me. Look over your shoulder, ready to run like a crazy bitch from a smoking gun. I am the game, and I make the rules. So move on out, you can die like a fool. Try to figure out what my mood's gonna be. Come on over, circle, why don't you ask me? Don't you forget there's a price you can pay. Cause I am the game and I want to play.
Gentlemen, welcome once again to the Ed Springsteen Show, brought to you by the MVM Radio Network, home of LouisvillePolitics.com. Don't forget, while you're at LouisvillePolitics.com, make sure you join the RSS feed and get all the latest from us, and join our email list. We will mail you each week with updates on what's going on. Wednesday night, as usual, we got to go right to it. Mr. Dale the Truth, how are you, sir?
I'm doing good, my friend. How are you?
I can't complain. Well, I mean, I could, but who the hell would listen, right? Right. You know, we've got, as usual, man, so much going on. It's incredible. This whole Obama situation keeps escalating further and further out of control. You know, the peace-loving Muslims beheaded a guy over in England today. You know, so Piers Morgan ought to be glad of that. You know, they had to wait 20 minutes for the police to get there because the police had to find an armed officer to respond because England doesn't believe in guns. So we've got all these things going on. And on a local level, I'm going to point this out real quick. On a local level, Greg Fisher put together his budget. Apparently, everybody on the Metro Council, including the Republicans, are in love with the guy's budget. So we need to see what that looks like going forward. And Louisville MSD is set once again to increase rates 5.8% starting on August the 1st. So there's all the briefs.
I knew you'd be able to get me out today on the local news, Ed. And can you hear me okay?
Sure.
Move the microphone here. Okay. I tell you what, it's depressing. I was trying to catch up on the local stuff, so I tried to sit down and watched a few minutes of the news, and I saw a trend. We'd have a couple stories about black crimes. You know, they're not supposed to report those, but they're sneaking out. Then we had a story about police crime. Then we had a story about a black police crime. So I guess that's the trend. I'm maybe the media is not afraid to tell us about black crimes and police crimes. I thought it was a good little segue. They had a black crime, then a police crime, then a black police crime. Then they went back just to a regular black crime. So I guess that's Louisville for you.
Well, welcome to Louisville, Kentucky, folks. That is everything we do here. You know, of course, we know there's all kinds of crime by LMPD, and we know that there's a lot of cases out there, if you will, against the LMPD as we speak. So, you know, our police situation here is clearly laced with problems. You know, but when you look at the big picture, you know, it's interesting that you said that the local news has said something about a black crime, because that's one thing that we've been talking about ad nauseum for months now, you and I both.
Oh, yeah.
You know, about how they're ignoring, you know, the black mob violence and everything else. You know, do you think that maybe they're finally willing to release just a little bit just because of what's going on with Obama right now, the AP and James Rosen and Fox News and all these guys being infiltrated?
Well, I don't think the media is going to stop carrying his water. A few of them are a little upset, but as far as the local media go, they love to just whisper black males, you know, really quick. They don't want that story to get out because they're stuck in this belief system, this warped, bizarre world system that says if you admit that most of our crime is committed by blacks, then somehow you're racist, which is the biggest bunch of crap that there is. But, you know, they're going to keep carrying the pail for their first black president.
Well, I think you're absolutely right about that, but at least we're finally whispering, and that's a good start, because I tell you, you know, this is not a racist show. We've never been about racism here. We believe in equality and fairness, and the reality is if white crime is going on, it's all over the news like crazy, you know, but if it's black crime, everybody's so scared of being labeled racist, they won't address it, and if you don't address the problem, you can't fix the problem. So, you know, I think it's a disservice to the black community to have the media ignoring that when they clearly know what's going on. And, you know, because they don't have information, they don't know how to combat it. And I just think that that's wrong. I think it's intentional.
I agree.
I think it's neglect of the black community itself. And, you know, there's a lot of people in the African-American community and the black community that really stand up for better than that. And I think it's an insult to them.
I think it is. I think if we want equality, though, I can say this tongue-in-cheek since we can make some jokes on this. So if we want equality, we're going to have a lot more white crimes to catch up.
Well, yeah.
But anyway,
you know,
go ahead.
Yeah, well, yeah, you know, I okay.
you know, it's the truth.
I mean,
that's what we're about. Next topic.
Well, you actually got a point there because, you know, I mean, the majority of crime today is happening in the poorest communities, and the poorest communities have always typically had the highest crime, but most of the poorest communities today are black communities, and that's why the crime rates are so high. You know, it's not a black and white issue. It's an economic issue, and that's what we're not getting to. Interestingly enough, I'm actually glad you said that because today at Louisville News, I actually reprinted an article from Walter Williams.
He's
very good. For those of you who don't know who Walter Williams is, Walter Williams is a black professor. He's an economics professor at George Mason University. He's an accomplished author, and he happens to be, you know, since he's black, he's considered a minority. So he did a story on May the 8th. It was released on May the 8th called A Minority View. And he labels this an honest examination of race. And if you go to LouisvillePolitics.com, I believe that's the top story on there right now. If you go to LouisvillePolitics.com, you're going to see a lot of what we're talking about when you get into, you know, the crime rates per 100,000 of the population. You know, in Detroit, you know, it's 2,137 violent crimes committed against, you know, per 100,000 of population. And you go on into, you know, Memphis, Tennessee, Birmingham, Alabama, Atlanta, Cleveland, you know, you look at all of these, they're predominantly black cities, and all of them are basically in such financial straits, it's unbelievable. Detroit's on the verge of bankruptcy. We've talked about that here on this show. So when you look at this, when you look at this and you look at the economic reality of where the crime, why the crime is coming there, and it stems from economy, you know, Walter Williams is a fantastic guy who can really lay it out.
Great.
And we're actually going to interview Mr. Williams in the very near future.
Really?
Unfortunately, it won't be live. Mr. Williams has prior commitments at 7 o'clock on the nights that we broadcast, so we'll end up doing a podcast with it. But we're going to do a Q&A with Professor Williams, and I'll be honest with you, I'm excited. I really like this guy. Professor Williams tells it how it is. So for you guys who want to read that story, please go to LouisvillePolitics.com and check it out. In the meantime, as I mentioned, MSD, raising your rates 5.87% this year, starting on August the 1st. And what's really funny about this, Dale, Ray Pierce, our good friend Ray Pierce over at Stop It, the only one who went to Monday's meeting and commented on the rate increases. And he said he's totally against the rate increase for many reasons, primarily because MSD has wasted so much money in the past. And he brought up the fact that they have a $2.6 billion debt. You know, you need to stop borrowing until you get the debt under control. Well, you go on to this, and then you have Terry Tedder, I believe his name is. Tedder is his name. But anyway, you know, he admitted that they have a debt problem. It was once higher than $3 billion. But he goes on to say that the debt has recently shrunk because of refinancing that saved $111 million. Now, let's get real here. $111 million on a $3 billion debt is what they saved. And they didn't save money. They refinanced. So, you know, we've got ourselves in this interest rate swap and all these bond status and everything else. That's not doing anything for the major debt. And then when you get, you know, Chad Collier, the MSD finance director, he goes on record and he says that even a small change in rate increases can have a significant impact on MSD's debt. And what he uses the example was that a 6.25% rate increase could eliminate borrowing an additional $17.7 million. But since we're only getting a 5.8% rate increase, MSD is going to have to borrow that amount to meet its obligations. So, you know, they're all playing this game, and probably the most telling statement of all came from board member Yvonne Hatfield. Yvonne Hatfield went on record to say that MSD has had a good year, and I am always a fan of ratepayers being able to receive some of the benefits of what we are doing. Now, I don't know about Ms. Hatfield. I'm not sure where she thinks we're receiving benefits, but MSD has had a great year, and she's proud that we, the people, are going to benefit. How do we benefit with an almost 6% rate increase yet again?
No, I agree with you. I'm just trying to think it over, because these rate increases, not the first or the last that they've given us. And again, it's one of those monopolies. It's something with, it'd be hard to have competition, but you said Ray was the only person down there. I think it goes back to the old, the people don't know and don't care. How many people knew this was happening, and how many of them would have cared enough to get off their asses to go down there?
Well, that's exactly it, you know. And for them to say that, you know, deficit spending is how they're keeping the rates down, all that means is they're borrowing more money, and they're going to continue raising our rates every year for as long as they can, you know, forever. And that's the thing. And I love the way that they try to make the comparisons. That really drives me completely nuts, because they continue to talk about that, you know, well, our rates only are about $537 to $570 a year. And you guys go to Courier Journal and read this story, you know. But we're so much better shape than everybody else who has to spend a few thousand dollars a year for their MSD rates. I don't care what other people pay. That's not my problem. I live in Louisville, you know, because I want to live in Louisville. If I had to go somewhere else and pay $3,000 or $4,000 a year for MSD, for rainwater that's soaking up in my yard, not going into any sewers, well, you know what? Then I would go ahead and go there. I got money to waste if that's what I chose to do. I'm tired of those comparisons. But I think that's
It's not fair to you, Ed, because if you went to one of those cities, you probably wouldn't get as much police crime and black crime that you get in Louisville. And I know you like your quota of police crime and black crime. So, you know, you might go to a good area like New Hampshire where they're 99% white, and so they go after you up there if you help people with the meter maids.
Yeah, that's it. That's exactly it. I can go to New Hampshire and become a meter maid and then cry foul and see if I can get some kind of a lawsuit filed and get paid for not doing anything.
Sorry, world.
That up. I'm telling you. And, you know, so we've got these things on a local level going on. We'll get more into detail on Greg Fisher's budget next week.
Right.
But this is Wednesday night, man. This is Dale the Truth night. We get into national stuff. We start talking about anything and everything. I want to get into a story that just came out just a little bit ago. Two Muslims screaming Allahu Akbar. They beheaded a British soldier on a public street in London. You know, one witness.
With a machete.
Yeah, with a machete. Well, they were actually meat cleavers. They had meat cleavers as well. One witness said that the two men attacked another guy that was about 20 years old. This guy was wearing a T-shirt of military charity that said Help for Heroes on it. And he went on to say that these two guys were just crazy. They were animals. They dragged the victim from the pavement, dumped his body in the middle of the road, and left his body there. You know, this, what's fascinating about this, too, is they go on to say that after this attack, the two Muslim men stood around waving knives and a gun and begging people to take pictures of them because they wanted their pictures on TV. Now, this is pretty disturbing. But what's more disturbing, Dale, and this is where I really want to get you to weigh in, What's more disturbing is the follow-up on that story is a simple one. We have evidence that these guys were there for about 20 minutes trying to get their pictures taken and doing all this other stuff, waiting for law enforcement to arrive. They wanted the police to arrive. As soon as the police arrived, after about 20 minutes, as soon as the police got there, they charged the officers with a gun drawn, so the cop shot him and killed him. The problem is, the reason it took 20 minutes, you had all these civilians in harm's way because nobody's allowed to carry a gun to defend himself. These guys have machete, meat cleavers, and everything else, so they can kill anybody they want to because nobody's armed, you know. And then you had a 20-minute wait because the police themselves, most officers are not allowed to carry firearms on duty.
Yep.
So they had to wait. They had to wait until they could find armed officers to respond. This is what they want to do in America. Ask Piers Morgan. I'm disturbed by this.
Yeah, that's what I'm going to say. I mean, Piers Morgan loves to talk about gun crimes, and the people who call him out on it, actually, I don't know if it's smart or brave or stupid to go on his low-rated show, but when they go on there and challenge him and they say, why don't you care about other crime? All you care about is gun crime. And again, he gets all pissy when they say that, but it's true. He doesn't care about knife crime and machete crime. And in London, where this happened, this went down in South London, nobody has guns except for the criminals.
Well, that's it. Homicide rate in London is not any better than the U.S. Quite frankly, it's worse. But their homicides are very low when it comes to homicides and killings due to guns. But
I mean,
hell,
if I'm going to be murdered, let's be honest, I'd much rather you shoot me from a distance than cut me up with a machete.
All right, well, there you go. There you go.
I mean, come
so,
on,
you know,
that's about as gruesome as it gets. You got to have quite a kind of a vengeance and a hateful heart if you're going to cut someone up with a machete. That's point-blank range.
Well, that's it. And, of course, this is the religion of peace, right? You know, these guys are going around screaming, God is great, you know, Allahu Akbar. But, you know, we've got to look at this in place. So here we've got Piers Morgan and everybody else around the damn world trying to tell us London is peaceful because they don't have any guns, which is a crock, because their homicide rates in many cases are higher than most of the cities in the United States. But the choice of weapon is a knife, or in this case, a machete and a meat cleaver. So, you know, it's just totally mind-boggling to me that this kind of stuff is going on, and nobody is calling out the infallacies of this. And when it takes 20 minutes for an officer to arrive because he's not allowed to carry a gun, you know, why are they not screaming about the potential victims? If these guys weren't looking for a photo op and were more concerned about making sure they got photographed to be put on TV after they committed suicide by cop, there would have been a hell of a lot more people dead.
Well, this is police state. This is the police state that they want to bring here in the Western world and the rest of this hemisphere, because if you look at the pictures, that's all over on the Daily Mail, you see a armed soldier out there. He looks like he's carrying a converted machine gun in his hand, and this is their police state. The only people who have weapons are the criminals and the soldiers, and everybody else is supposed to just be a good little serf and either stay inside or beg protection from either the criminals or the soldiers.
Yep, that's exactly it. And that's what we're working on. And, you know, there are reports, these are unconfirmed, but I'm seeing all kinds of reports out there now from alternative media that we now have a bunch of C-130s and an overabundance of C-130s, and I believe it says C-117s, but anyway, these aircraft are carrying, you know, UN soldiers into American cities for patrol. Now, we've been talking a long time about that being a possibility. Now we're starting to get reports that this is actually happening. But it's all coming from alternative media. You're not going to get mainstream to back it.
No.
Where are we going, Dale? Where are we going?
I've tried to talk about these stories for years, and people thought that it was all conspiracy stuff, and it was science fiction stuff. I mean, a couple years ago, if we talked about drones, everybody would have thought we were talking about the new Star Trek movie. Nobody believed us because nobody believed what we were telling them, because they believe what the mainstream press tells us. And like you just said, there are UN troops on U.S. soil just awaiting unrest. If you look at the way the government's police state expands and it heats up and they make the threat of martial law common conversation, that's what they want. And the problem is enough American soldiers are still good old boys who are going to have that snap reaction and not want to either wear the little powder blue beret of the UN or not stand up and kill their own brother and mother and father. So they have to bring in other troops from around the world from Ghana or from Europe or Africa, because they don't care if they kill somebody in Arkansas or Tennessee or Kentucky. So that's why the UN troops are trained in this country, but not in brigade strength and not in the domestic support house-to-house searches and seizures that we're seeing in places like Boston and other things that they're doing in military bases with the United Nations. So, yes, not only are UN troops being trained in the United States, but they also have UN vehicles already available for operational use. Welcome to your police state, America.
That's exactly it. And you know, and again, I mean, the thing that puzzles me, you mentioned Boston. We're going to go to the phones in a second, but you mentioned Boston. Again, there's no better example than the American people becoming so disconnected from what freedom and liberty is all about than those people who were forced to stay in their homes, then forced out of their homes at gunpoint, searched and everything else, 100,000 people. And then those same people went to the streets and applauded after thing number two, Dokar Tsarnaev, was arrested. It was just, it's incredible. I just could not get over that image, and that image stays with me every day. Let's go to the phones. I believe this is our good friend Mayo.
Do it.
That it is.
Awesome. What's going on, buddy?
Oh, not much. You brought up Boston, so I didn't know I'd sent you a, I had just heard it on one news channel, but thing number two, what was his name, Joker?
Yeah.
His manifesto that he wrote in the boat because he figured he was going to die, you know, that the Boston bombings was an answer to all the Muslims killed overseas, et cetera. And then the other thing, I didn't hear the segue. I got caught a little late, but I didn't know if you mentioned the FBI agent that killed the Muslim terrorist.
Actually, we're heading up to that.
Oh, okay.
It's very incredible. No, we can get into that right now. It's all in context. I'm glad you brought that up, because NBC News is reporting that an FBI agent shot and killed a man who had already been interviewed at least once over ties to thing number one in the April Boston Marathon bombing. Now, the situation is really weird. It's 27-year-old Ibrahim Todashev. I apologize. I'm not good at names. You know, but he knew Tamerlan, who was thing number one. And, you know, they had worked together and done different things through mixed martial arts. Both were Muslim. Apparently the police or the FBI decided to interview this guy again. And some point during the interview process, the FBI are saying that this guy attacked an officer, so he had no choice but to fire his weapon. I've got to be honest with you. I've got major reservations about that. Huh?
I said, but he used a knife.
Well, I've got major reservations. Well, let me ask you something. I mean, you know, let's use some common sense here, okay? Because here's the deal. Do you think an FBI agent is going to sit there and interview a suspect alone in that suspect's home? FBI agents don't travel solo for that kind of stuff, especially considering one, the seriousness of this situation, and two, there's already been deaths involved. You know, you're not going to put yourself in that position. So that is a major thing to me. And the second thing is, you don't have shootouts and home interviews. That's just something that's not plausible. So, you know,
well,
we look at this. Go ahead.
Well, first, I hadn't checked the rest of the facts, but what I heard was thing one and this guy and another associate that they were looking at who is still alive and I believe in custody. They are tied to like a drug killing, and they made it look like a drug war murder. They, you know, dumped marijuana on the bodies and did that to like get some money for financing. I don't know what else has come out, but that's about all I know at this time.
Well, because thing number one, Tamerlan, has been accused earlier of killing somebody about 3 years ago, and you know, he got off on those charges, but now since all this has happened and other evidence has been uncovered, you know, they're going after these guys as being, you know, inclusive in that. But you're not going to sit there, again, you're not going to sit there as an FBI agent, go to a guy's house and interview him by yourself and put yourself in an unsafe position like that. That just defies logic. You know, that's the problem here. There was two guys that they were talking to. The other one, his name was Kusin Taramiv. Again, I don't care for the names. I'm not good at that. But he was also interviewed. The FBI was talking to both of those guys. They sent Taramiv on his way, said that they needed to talk to this other guy for a little bit longer. So as soon as the second suspect left, then all of a sudden the first suspect attacked him and they shot him. Can we say cover up? I'm serious. Let's go down a conspiracy road, Dale. Because I've got to tell you, this makes no sense to me that the FBI would put themselves in this kind of position. How about you?
Well, we talked about Boston and the guy hiding out in a boat, and suppose he's writing a manifesto in a boat, and I'm still trying to find out what I asked a couple of weeks ago. Where was the gunfire coming from? They kept talking about that there was a shootout and there was gunfire exchange when they took him in, but yet did they ever talk about any machine guns they found on him? Because, you know, if he found any kind of weapons bigger than a musket or more powerful than a cap gun, they would be telling us how horrible the gun is. So where was this gunfight that they talk about?
Well, you know, that's it. There was no gun. When they got
they
things
said there was a shootout.
The boat,
they said
there was
they
no gun.
Fire.
Right. When they took thing number two out of the boat, there was no gun. And now they're going around, and all of a sudden this guy is being questioned and ends up dead in custody in his own home. There's so many things that are disturbing with everything we've got going on. And this is the liberal left at work, man. I mean, there's no other way to explain this. I mean, you know, you've got to look at the reality here. The reality is that when you get into the liberal left and everything they've got going, I mean, it's real clear. The left thinks that they know everything, and they know what's best for everybody. So because of that, they've kind of brainwashed themselves into believing that they're always right. And that's a fascist attitude, and that's what we've been living with for a long-ass time. You know,
I try to change the dynamic and get people to call them the globalist media, because that's what they are. I don't even call them the liberal left, because Fox News doesn't give you much more truth behind the story than PMSNBC or CNN. They just have ratings that are far better. But I just try to call it globalist media. They all got an agenda. They have a separate version of the agenda. And like you said, we have this story about the man with the ties to a Tamerlan Tazhanov. He was shot and killed by an FBI agent, supposedly while being questioned in Florida. And the man who was shot was not suspected of having played any role in the bombing. So if he was being questioned as part of the FBI's effort to find and talk to anybody who had contacted with Tsarnaev, hell, why would you ever admit that you had contact if they're going to shoot you just because you have contact with a guy?
Those are very valid questions,
I don't get that.
I wish I had answers for you.
Yeah, they say he's being questioned as part of the FBI effort to find and talk to anyone who had contact with Tsarnaev, and supposedly he was killed and an agent sustained non-life-threatening injuries. But again, we still don't hear about a weapons report. We know that the mainstream media hates us to have weapons, so they always tell us about the weapons. And the spokesperson for the Middlesex County DA's office investigating these deaths said the office doesn't discuss ongoing investigations and nobody's returning comment. Hell, they're all afraid of getting killed by the FBI.
You got a point. I tell you what, we're going to take a quick break, a bottom of the hour break. When we get back, we're going to get into all kinds of great stuff, folks. We're going to get into Benghazi, IRS. You're going to love it. That's all I can tell you. We'll be right back. Listen to the Ed Springsteen Show right here on the MVM Radio Network. For you guys that are in the listening queue right now, make sure you push that number one on your dial pad to be heard on air. And for everybody else, 858-683-1326 or 502-805-0334 are the numbers. We'll be right back.
Being a victim of crime is no joke, but you do have options that can help you avoid becoming a victim. I'm Ed Springsteen of the My View Matters radio show, and on behalf of myself and co-host Ed Martin, I urge each of you to help us fight against crime. You can do your part by calling Crime Stoppers at 582-CLUE. Since 1982, Crime Stoppers has helped get over 23,000 criminals off the street with your help. Working together, we can make a difference to take our streets back. Please call Crime Stoppers at 582-CLUE, or you can visit them online at www.582clue.com. Remember, Crime Stoppers always offers up to a $1,000 reward. Get involved and help make a positive change in your neighborhood. Thanks.
Advertisers, here's a great way to reach a quality audience. Get heard on My View Matters and make some noise in the marketplace.
Email myviewmatters@aol.com for advertising opportunities.
Well, I see.
Jazz Breakfast Show right here on the MVM Radio Network. That was the Eagles, Get Over It. Of course, lead singer Don Henley. And, yeah, you know, we've got so many things going on. It's incredible. Dale, I got a lot of things that I want to get into. And one of the first things I want to get into is Benghazi just for a minute. And I'll tell you why. NBC News, you know, we always talk about mainstream media covering up, you know, critical points, doing everything they can to protect the administration, all this other garbage. Well, Victoria Tonesing, she's the attorney for Benghazi whistleblower Gregory Hicks. Gregory Hicks is the guy who exploded everything that happened in Benghazi. He's the reason everybody's on a hot seat. He was the first one to come out. Now we've got everybody else coming out. But, you know, his own attorney, Victoria Tonesing, talks about how amazing it is what the press is still trying to do to cover up just the simplest of information. And the information she's referring to is she told NBC's Lisa Myers for a story that ran last Wednesday before Greg Hicks testified. She told Lisa Myers, you know, that Greg Hicks was a registered Democrat. Greg Hicks voted for Hillary Clinton, and Greg Hicks voted for Barack Obama twice.
Yep.
You know, so she's trying to make sure she's getting fair information out there. You know, everybody knows who Greg Hicks is, trying to show how hard it was for her client to come forward because the people that are involved are people that he voted for and believed in. And, you know, that's hard to do, to go against people like that. And, of course, NBC News, you know, Lisa Myers decided not to tell the world that so they could do this fluff piece to try to make Hicks look bad, you know, to make Obama look good. We've got just one more example there, Dale. It's incredible to me.
They don't ever want to show you their connections. I mean, it kind of reminds me of a lot of people, young kids these days. They've got to be on the mainstream press, which would be good, but they've turned to things like Jon Stewart and Comedy Central. It's, I don't know whether to laugh or cry when I hear they get their news over there. It's kind of like how many people know that Jon Stewart, whose real name, of course, is John Leibovitz, but he doesn't want us to know he's a Jew. How many people know that his older brother is the chief operating officer of the New York Stock Exchange? So he's right in bed with the global banksters. So these are things they don't tell you about, but you got to go to research.
Well, you're absolutely right. And I tell you, you know, that goes on all over the place. And we're going to talk about CBS News president in a minute. But on this Benghazi story, it's really interesting because ever since the beginning of this, the administration, the Obama administration, and the Democrats at large have been trying to convince everybody that this is nothing more than a partisan witch hunt. You know, the bearers of, you know, confirming information that Gregory Hicks is a loyal Democrat who voted for Hillary Clinton and Barack Obama would have completely destroyed that media slant that this was a partisan witch hunt. So they chose not to put that out there, and they chose to continue with this partisan witch hunt crap to keep everybody divided. That's the problem I'm having. Democrats have been accusing all of this of Greg Hicks and everybody else trying to hurt Hillary Clinton's chances to be president in 2016. You know, instead of trying to focus on what's really important here, like what happened on September the 11th. So we've got all of these different things, and this is one more example. Of what's going on with mainstream media. Now, you talked about Jon Stewart's relationship. Well, here's another relationship many people don't know about. This involves CBS News president. Yes, you heard me right. CBS News executives have always been fighting. They've been fighting lately with one of their own reporters, Cheryl Atkinson. Cheryl Atkinson is actually one of the rare people at CBS News or on mainstream media that tries to do the right thing. She's been covering the Obama administration handling of Benghazi since very late last year. On Friday, you know, ABC News had reported that the Benghazi talking points went through 12 revisions before they were told to us. However, you know, we know that the White House was involved in that process, up to and including Valerie Jarrett, whether they want to admit that Obama was or not. But Valerie Jarrett is de facto president anyway. You know, so everything was all everyone of the talking points was scrubbed free concerning this terror attack. So CBS News has been all over Cheryl Atkinson, trying to censor her and everything else. And oh, by the way, we just found out the CBS News president, David Rhodes' own brother, Ben Rhodes, is President Obama's deputy national security advisor. Wonder why CBS is trying to cover this stuff up.
Oh, they got to cover it up, definitely. I mean, it's like I said, from John Leibovitz, as we know, John Stewart, to the CBS people. Look at the IRS. Look at the fact that we saw that the major donor for Obama, you know, was in charge of investigating conservative faction groups, and now she's in charge of Obamacare. And we find out today, this is one of my favorite stories, some of the same crony unions, you know, these gangster thug labor unions that were all for Obamacare, now they want to be exempt from Obamacare.
Oh, yeah, there's no doubt about it, because they just found, they got to see the fine print once it got
passed.
We
tried to tell them, but they wouldn't listen to us, because they know better than us right-wing wackos.
Well, of course we did. But these same fascists, liberal left, and at this point Democrats, sorry, that's all you can say, these people are only concerned about getting reelected and keeping their job and controlling everything, because they think they know it all. And that's the problem. So now they're going to go through, and I guarantee you they're going to go through, they're going to gut Obamacare to a situation that's going to benefit the union and hurt everybody else. And, you know, the reality is the union is, what, 10% of the American labor force anymore? Why are we bending over backwards? Why are we bending over backwards to satisfy these guys? It's totally beyond me. And when you look at the crap coming out of mainstream media, when you look at stuff like the John Stewart angle, when you look at CBS News president and his own brother is Obama's deputy national security advisor, you wonder why, you know, they're having talking points and everything else. Ben Rhodes, President Obama guy, you know, he's got a master's from New York University, and he called a meeting to discuss the talking points on September the 15th, just a couple of days after Benghazi. And there's no doubt that he talked all this over with his brother and everything else. Now CBS News executives are trying to get rid of Cheryl Atkinson because they're saying that she is wading dangerously close to advocacy on Benghazi. It's not an advocate position, folks, when you're telling the truth about events that happened. But that's what they're going to use here. They're trying to claim it's a conflict of interest. Go ahead.
I agree. Go ahead. No, I'm just saying it's you know, they want you to think it's a conspiracy, but it is a conspiracy. It's not a conspiracy theory. It's a fact what they're doing behind the scenes. I mean, I can only shake my head on these IRS stories. You know, it's bad when even CBS or NBC or have to drop it in. It's like we talked about the abortion doctor's trial. Nobody else would talk about it. At the very end, they'll do like a tidbit in about it. So, you know, when, like I said last week, if people like Charlie freaking Rangel are telling the president to step up to the plate, it's pretty bad.
You're absolutely right. You're absolutely right.
Charlie Rangel is the IRS's nightmare or wet dream, depending on your angle you look at it, and he's warning the president to come forward. What does that tell you?
I think it says a great deal, my friend. I really, really do. You know, and we've got all of these different things going on. You know, and it's like today, was it Lisa Lerner, I think is who it was, you know, she testified at Congress. She put out this big statement, Lois Lerner. She puts out a big statement saying that she's done absolutely nothing wrong, you know, whatsoever. So she doesn't want to talk. I mean, she claims the fifth after she reads a statement telling the whole world she did nothing wrong. Well, if she did nothing wrong, then why did she not agree to questions? What's there to hide? Most people that like to take the fifth, and I'm sorry, folks, you know, most people that like to claim the fifth in that position have something to hide. If you've done nothing wrong, you know, it's not the same thing as a criminal case like me or you going to Jefferson Circuit Court, Dale.
Yep.
This is a legitimate concern that affects millions and millions of people. This is no doubt, arguably, the biggest department that the United States has is the IRS. They're certainly the most powerful.
Yeah, and they don't really have a constituency. I mean, I don't know too many people who like the IRS. Nobody is insane enough to admit that they like the IRS. It's one of those things. If people think that they're not giving enough tax dollars, like we used to say with the globalist liberal Hollywood crowd, if you don't think you're giving enough of your money away, then by all means go give more. But stop trying to tell us to give them our money. And the IRS, again, I don't know. Maybe it's not a good time to talk about it. I'm still waiting for a quote-unquote refund that I filed away 4 or 5 months ago. So maybe it's because they know that I'm on those lists. I don't know.
Well, it's just very, very strange.
I never got my refund, Ed. I mean, we know it's not a refund. It's some of my money that they stole under threat of violence. And people don't think it's threat of violence. Try not paying your taxes. They'll come with guns a-blazing and take you in. So, again, how many people out there, maybe we should do that survey, how many people who are constitutional conservatives haven't gotten their quote-unquote refund back yet? It's the end of May.
You know, that's a good question. That's a good question. You know, so we've got all kinds of questions here, Dale, and we're not going to get any true answers. And that is probably the worst thing of all. When we have somebody who runs the IRS department that is guilty of all of these, you know, illegal dealings, and that's definitely illegal. I don't think there's any doubt of anybody's mind about that. Nobody's being fired. They made a guy named Steve Miller, who'd been there since November the 12th of 2012, long after this whole episode was completed, and they made him the scapegoat. Well, he's going to resign, and, you know, he did a bad thing, he's resigning. No, sir. Steve Miller had absolutely nothing to do with this, and he resigned. And, of course, they didn't tell everybody that he was going to be gone anyway in 2 weeks. They paid him for the remainder of his contract because he was only the temporary IRS commissioner until June. You know, and they don't tell people that. So Obama, you know, this is what I call the Teflon presidency, Dale, because all this stuff gets thrown at them. They can't defend it. They can't take responsibility. But miraculously, nothing sticks to the point that we hold them accountable.
Well, they knew about this stuff before the election, and, of course, they were so afraid. It's that whole stupid left-right paradigm thing. The people who protected them and had their knee pads on down there fellatioing him, they knew about this stuff before the election. But God forbid in their mind that they got big love Mitt Romney elected president, and I don't think he would have been much better, maybe on a few economic issues, but they were so worried about getting Tweedledee elected that they wanted to make sure they hit everything they had on the Tweedledum until they got him reelected.
Right, exactly. And it is totally disturbing. It really is. And to get back to CBS's Cheryl Atkinson for a minute, you know, there's some serious issues here as well. You know, we have been hacked on our computers when we do this show. You and I both have.
Oh, yeah.
It's a fact of life, okay? We understand that. We deal with it. We're constantly doing different things to overcome the problems that these hackers continue throwing in here. Well, CBS News reporter Cheryl Atkinson also went on record yesterday saying that her personal and work computers have been compromised for over 2 years. Ours have been, too.
Right.
You know, she told a local Philadelphia radio station that she'd been working with investigators to find out who's doing this activity that's compromising her computers. She said there's been an issue in her house, an issue with her computer at work, you know, and they can't seem to find it. They're working on it. So here, once again, that takes us to the next part of what we need to discuss, and that's all the AP stuff that's going on out there.
Well, wait a minute. If she's so worried about people on her computers, then I'd say, welcome to the 21st century, bitch. But if she's so worried about her computers, seriously, why don't they just tell her what she and all her global friends tell us? What's the problem? Why don't you have the ability to just let them come in and look at everything you're doing if you got nothing to hide?
Well, remember, I totally agree with you there, but remember, this isn't Cheryl Atkinson that's selling us this stuff. This is Dale Rose, CBS News president,
mm-hmm.
who is watering down her stories and trying to keep her from getting the truth out. She's actually been out there trying to fight for the truth about Benghazi. So, you know, so now she's letting everybody know what's going on. You know, she also, in 2011, you know, she got in trouble by CBS because she claimed that a White House official had screamed and cussed at her for reporting on Fast and Furious. Cheryl Atkinson did a great job getting that information out there back in 2011. So here's a reporter. Now my only contention here would be this. We know that there's at least five reporters with the AP that have had their phones wiretapped from the Department of Justice. We know James Rosen over at Fox News has been wiretapped by the Department of Justice. All of these are illegal. Nobody knows what's going on. You know, now we've got Atkinson, who's been in trouble since at least 2011 with the White House. You know, but more importantly, do you think her situation is more the White House, or do you think the CBS News president David Rose has something to do with this?
I don't know because he's
trying to control her.
Yeah. Well, I don't know because, again, when you get into the IRS situation, I don't know if you saw the story that came out, I think, or a couple of days ago. Washington Post did a story. You know how the Cincinnati office is the one that does most of the nonprofit auditing. And did you see the story where an anonymous IRS official, an anonymous staffer in the Cincinnati IRS office said that they are only doing this as directives from a headquarters above them?
Oh, yeah. We've got the proof on that. As a matter of fact, we can get into Doug Shulman today. And, you know, it's real – well, this is interesting. I'm looking at the chat room.
Yeah,
and it looks like My View Matters tried to sign in and out. That wasn't you by chance, was it?
Not me.
Because I am My View Matters. I'm curious. So there you go. Now I've got proof we're hacked again. okay, let them do what they're going to do. I just find that interesting.
I don't know. It might have been me trying to post my story for tomorrow night, but as you know, as you told the audience, it's not the first time you've had computer problems, or me, when it comes to Wednesday or Thursday nights about this time.
Well, it's interesting because it just happened when I was talking about them wiretapping and compromising computers.
I just want to let you know that they're still there, Ed, watching out for you.
I guess so, because it's showing me signing in and out in the chat room, and I'm already in the chat room, and you are too. So I find that very interesting. So anyway, long story short, so we've got all of these different things going on. If you want to get back to the IRS, these guys were ordered to do this. And what's really fascinating today, Doug Shulman actually had to testify in front of Congress, and this guy, hey man, he was on a defensive the whole time. He couldn't even answer a question. South Carolina Congressman Trey Gowdy, he was there for the House hearing today on the IRS scandal, and man, he must have took it, ate his Wheaties this morning or something, because he did not let Shulman off the hook. He asked Shulman one question: if there's inappropriate conduct being done on your watch in the IRS, that inappropriate conduct can last as long as the Inspector General's investigation lasts. And the reason he made that statement was because when Shulman was asked why he allowed this political targeting of conservative groups to continue once he was informed of it, he tried to claim that the IG was already, the Inspector General was already looking into it, so he didn't bother with it. Now, that's bullshit. The IG, guys, inspections are just that, inspections. These aren't people that make those decisions. They give you a report and tell you what you can do to fix problems. So Shulman tried to cop out and blame the IG, which was a big joke. Congressman Gowdy called him on it, and he even went so far as to tell him, you're not going to step in and stop it. If there's somebody wielding a knife in the parking lot, are you going to call the Inspector General? Are you going to wait until his or her investigation is over until you try to stop it? And I thought that was very telling because Shulman didn't know how to answer.
Yep.
He didn't know how to answer. And that's the thing. Shulman is part of this cover-up, and it all goes back to, I'm telling you this, man, and believe me or not, but it all goes back to Valerie Jarrett. It all goes back to Valerie Jarrett. So what do we do now? We've got Doug Shulman, who's not going to answer anything truthfully. We've got Lois Lerner, who is going to claim the fifth and lie and say she didn't know anything about it. Nothing was stopped at any time until after the election. Are we going to get accountability here?
I guess you're not, because if you get anything, they're going to try to sweep it under the rug, and they want to make it really quick because this is as far away as they can get from the 2014 elections. They made sure nothing came out from under the rug, as you say, before the 2012 election was decided between the two sides of the same coin. So I think if we get anything, it'll be some kind of quick mea culpa, and they'll get it out of the way quickly, because this is about as far away as you can get from the 2014 elections, and I know people have very short memories, and the sheep aren't going to remember anything except for whoever the latest fat dumbass to win their music TV show was.
Well, yeah, you're absolutely right, and I'll tell you how bad it's even gotten. I mean, here we can't get straight answers from the IRS, and we're not going to. Everybody's in protection mode right now. Valerie Jarrett is wielding the whip, trying to protect Obama, which ultimately is trying to protect her. In the meantime, since this whole IRS scandal started, you've had a lot of Tea Partiers protesting at some of the IRS offices. A good example of that is St. Louis Tea Party protesters were at Town and Country IRS office on Tuesday. They were told, not to be there. They were met by armed Department of Homeland Security guards, and 300 of them had the balls to show up anyway. So the Department of Homeland Security parked their vehicles right outside the IRS office, supposedly in case the Tea Party protesters got crazy and violent. Bullshit. But it was all designed to intimidate and harass. In Los Angeles, the Department of Homeland Security put a chopper in the air and told the Tea Party protesters that they could not be on federal property. They tried to force them to move away from the building. Now, that's a lie, too. So these guys are unconstitutional once again, and it's all threats and intimidation. What can be said about that, Dale?
Well, the intimidation factors, again, we've seen stories about, a little old lady, like 70-some years old, and down in Florida, she had like some breakfast group that got together, and they were investigating her. So it's kind of scary if they see her as a threat. I mean, my gosh, what do they think of Ed Springsteen and My View Matters?
Good question. Well, I can tell you what a lot of them think because they check me out constantly from Washington. The State Department does come to the website. You know, we've got the FBI that's come to my website. We've got the IP addresses that prove everything. So, I know what situation I'm in. I always have. But it's really fascinating that this Department of Homeland Security is still getting away with this. You know, when you come on the heels of what happened in Boston after the bombing and civil rights and everything else being violated, then you've got Department of Homeland Security out here actually trying to think that they can order you off of federal property, which is a lie. It's property we paid for. You know, and it's interesting because we have, you know, one guy here. I believe his name is Jim Hoft. I may be wrong on the name, but I believe his name is Jim Hoft. But anyway, he's reporting from there, you know, and says that many of the 300 Tea Party folks were approached immediately by Homeland Security and told they could not be on federal property. He had already contacted his lawyer apparently in advance, and his lawyer told him as long as he didn't block passage, they didn't have to move. And he's absolutely right about that. You can't block passage, whether it's federal property or private property. You're not allowed to block passage. You know, but many Homeland Security trucks and a helicopter scared a lot of those guys off. So a lot of those people went to the public sidewalk to rally instead of staying on federal land. He goes on to say he stayed at the IRS entrance telling Homeland Security that he had the right to be there. And then, you know, of course, one woman with Homeland Security decided at one point that she was going to jump out of her car in the IRS parking lot and try to threaten him and tell him that she was with ICE. You know, that's immigration enforcement. You know, and he replied, "I'm with Laguna Patriots." You know, so this is just hilarious to me how far these guys will go. You know, I just don't comprehend why we the sheeple are still putting up with it. But it is amazing to me. So now we've got the Department of Homeland Security out there trying to keep protesters from peacefully protesting what they deem to be a wrong. That's not America.
No. Well, it's a new America. I mean, we know peace is war and love is hate and black is white. I mean, it's the George Orwell America. People like Orwell and Ayn Rand and these folks back in the day, they weren't supposed to be giving us instruction manuals for the future. It's supposed to be like sci-fi when they write these fantasy fictional stories like Atlas Shrugged and Animal Farm in 1984. But these stories are the new America. So, you know, if you're happy and you know it, shake your chains.
You know, you're absolutely right. You're absolutely right. But it has become very alarming that the Department of Homeland Security has that much power, and nobody is calling them on it at a time when the Obama administration is falling apart at the seams. Nobody's holding them accountable for it. You know, and even James Rosen, the Fox News reporter, who was the subject of illegal wiretapping, you know, these guys at the Department of Justice even looked into his parents' phone records. They decided they could go ahead and get into his parents' stuff. So, you know, we've got so many things going on. Nothing's being done. Nobody's been impeached. Nobody's been fired. You know, where do we go from here? I don't know. But I think
if you impeach the president, I mean, I've heard some radio hosts and even local ones, guys I know, talk about impeaching the president. It's like I keep saying, folks, then you get Joe Biden as president. The problem is not the president. It's everybody around him. People can't get the grasp around, or their minds, their two-dimensional, two-party minds can't get the grasp around the fact that the same puppeteers are pulling the strings on the marionettes. So we know a very few people would speak up when George W. Bush was doing something wrong, and a very few people would when Obama would. But if we had the same people who protest both getting together, I mean, this is what we talked about, gosh, a couple of years back about the Tea Party vis-a-vis the Occupy movement. They agree on some things, but it was so minuscule, at least they thought people were made to think that they agreed on so few things that they didn't try to collaborate. And if they had, they would have been a lot more successful.
Well, you know, and I'm glad you brought up Occupy, too, because Jim Hoft makes a good point in the blog post I was referring to earlier. You know, he makes a good point, and that point is real simple. You know, the White House coordinated the Occupy movement. The unions coordinated with the Occupy movement. But during this White House and union-coordinated Occupy movement out there, you had numerous murders, rapes, beatings, vandalism, theft, drug overdoses, hatchet attacks, all kinds of crap. But we never saw the Department of Homeland Security putting choppers over the top of those areas. We never saw the Department of Homeland Security surrounding that area to keep the peace, did we?
Nope.
You know, and that to me is very, very alarming because these were violent rallies We've got reports from all over the nation about this, and nobody cared because it was a leftist organization doing all of this. So I find that very disturbing. But yet they can go out there and try to intimidate and force people off of federal property. They're just standing there with a sign, not bothering anybody. You know, it's very disturbing what this Department of Homeland Security priorities are. You know, we need to disband this greatly, but I don't see that happening. I want to go into overdrive for just a minute, Dale. We're running short on time. You got time?
I got time, bro. Let's rock and roll.
Good, because there's one story I want to get into that I just find laughable. It has to do with Kentucky once again. You know, we had the whole Ashley Judd bait and switch thing going on. you know where I'm going with this. Well, yep. Now we've got the whole Heather French Henry bait and switch going on. Heather French Henry is out there telling the whole world that she's being asked and encouraged to run for the Senate against Mitch McConnell. You know, that would be a field day for somebody like me, as it would have been with Ashley Judd. What the hell are these guys thinking trying to put this out there? Who are they trying to protect?
Well, they want to give you, again, I sound like a broken record, but they want to give you this huge choice between Teddy Ruxpin, known as Mitch McConnell, and their slut of the week. And again, the problem is going to be, so many people are going to say, oh, yeah, they're Hollywood, and they're beautiful, and they're one of the beautiful people. Cue up the Marilyn Manson music, and they're going to tell you this is a lot better than McConnell, and the Democratic operatives will fall for it, and then the Republicans will fall in line behind McConnell. I've been rereading Jesse Ventura's book, which he had dedicated to our own late, great Louisvillian Hunter S. Thompson, and Jesse keeps saying, if you keep electing Republicans and Democrats, or how he said it, the two gangs. If you keep electing, as he called them, the Democrats and the Republicans, you're going to keep getting gang warfare.
Well, that's exactly it. But what's fascinating to me, I think the Democrats are hell-bent and determined to try to put a woman, any woman with name recognition they could possibly put up against Mitch McConnell, hoping to steal the election. That's what I think, because they think that this is the time and that a woman can win. And that's all they're after, because Mitch McConnell will wipe the floor with any man that runs across him. But you have a different set of rules when it comes to attacking women, as we found out with the backlash on Ashley Judd. So
Hillary Clinton was running for Senate, and the gentleman whose name escapes me from New York, he was actually from New York. He was a moderate to left-leaning Republican, because it's freaking New York, for crying out loud. And when he walked across stage to hand her something, my gosh, you would have thought he grabbed one of those machetes from the Religion of Peace and stabbed her with it.
Well, that's exactly it. That's exactly it. And when you look at this situation, I'm not sure what's going on. Alison Lundergan Grimes is now tainted forever because of the Sean Riley mess and the Ashley Judd mess. What most people don't know is sources are telling me, and I've been working on confirming this and having great success at it, but Sean Riley and Kurt Morrison, the two guys that outed the illegal audio tape of Mitch McConnell on Ashley Judd. Sean Riley met with Ashley Judd. It was no more than 2 days prior to her announcing she was not going to run, and gave her the information. And what I'm being told is he was asked to do that by none other than Alison Lundergan Grimes.
Wow.
So that's what all that was about. So it was supposed to set the stage for her. And if you remember, it took almost a week before she denounced the actions of Progress Kentucky. But she would not go on record to denounce him until finally she was forced to and had no choice. And that's because of her relationship with Sean Riley and Bill Ryan and everybody else involved. Now, we get into that. So now we've got to find another name, Heather French Henry. If anybody knows anything about the Henrys in this state, and you've got to be deaf, dumb, or blind not to know, the Henrys are about as crooked as you could possibly get. Heather French Henry ended up marrying the guy that used to change her diapers, Steve Henry. Steve Henry was found guilty of violations on 2-year probation and election violations. He was only fined $500, which I thought was a joke at that time, and I still think it's a joke. I got $30,000 on the Kings. But he got fined $500, was on probation for 2 years, essentially, and, you know, he couldn't run for office or anything else for a while. He had 12 months in jail that was suspended, as long as he wouldn't have any criminal problems for 2 years. In 2003, while he was a sitting lieutenant governor, Steve Henry agreed to pay $162,000 to settle a federal lawsuit because he had defrauded Medicaid and Medicare programs. He was billing Medicaid and Medicare for services he didn't perform. He should have been in jail for that, but they let him stay out. He was lieutenant governor, and he paid $162,000 to settle the suit. So, you know, here we've got all of this.
Governor's become an attractive spot for corrupt Louisville Democrats, hasn't it?
Oh, there's no doubt. Just ask Jerry Abramson. But so here we've got it. So Henry got married to Heather French in 2000. All this stuff happened after 2000. You know, we've got all of this stuff going on. You know, he'd been married to Heather French for 2000, you know, since in 2009, I should say. He'd been married to her for 9 years when he took a plea deal in Franklin Circuit Court for misusing campaign resources. And during the 2007 Democrat primary, he knew about that. She knew about that. And then, you know, he also got caught by the state auditor that found that 25 state employees had used over 500 hours of their personal leave valued at $16,000 to work on his wedding to Heather French Henry. She knew who those people were. She knew that this was going on. And this is just on Steve Henry and who she's married to. This hasn't even begun to touch on the person who was killed by Heather French Henry when she was driving over around Frankfort Avenue area.
Yeah,
this isn't even
that.
Touching on any of her own situations. But, you know, it's really fascinating to me that we're having this discussion. I don't comprehend why.
Well, they keep trying to find, like you said, a woman to run against McConnell. Maybe they're trying to find somebody as effeminate as McConnell to run against them. I don't know. But I'm getting sick of the hyphenated name Helians. I mean, maybe Heather French Henry and Alison Lundinger Grimes, maybe they're just trying to get together and plan a shoe exchange program with Jake Conway. I don't know.
Who knows, man? Who knows? I can tell you this, though. It's becoming disturbing that this is the best they have to offer. And quite frankly, you know, I'm almost to the point where I wonder if this isn't intentional. I think the Democratic Party really has to understand that this is the best they have to offer, that Mitch McConnell is going to win this hands down. And, you know, Mitch is in his late 70s, man. Who knows how much longer this guy's got? You know what I'm saying? I'm not wishing anything hateful on a man whatsoever. But, you know, if I was Mitch McConnell, I'd start investing in a food tester. And, you know, the president has a food tester for every meal he eats. If I was Mitch McConnell, I'd start watching my back and having my meals checked and everything else. Because I have no idea how far these guys will go. Because once Senator McConnell is gone, if something happens to him while he's in office, guess who makes the appointment to fulfill that seat until the next election?
People.
You bet your butt. Our governor, Governor Steve
Beshear.
You
so
betcha.
Would he then appoint himself and allow Jerry to become governor, or would he appoint Jerry to get him out of the way?
You know, I really don't know. I think he'd appoint Jerry because I don't think any way in the world that anybody would trust. If he appointed himself to that seat, he would never get elected in a general election. So he may try to appoint Jerry Abramson or Jack Conway, one of those two. But it's very, very interesting that we continue to have these discussions over people who don't have a snowball's chance in hell just because we want to dodge and deflect. And, of course, John Yarmuth is all over this, too. You know, he was the one who touted Ashley Judd. Now he's touting Heather French Henry. John Yarmuth maybe needs to keep his mouth shut for a while, you know, because every time he opens it, it seems seemingly he's just making himself look further and further down the road to insanity. I don't know. That's just my opinion. But, okay, that's it for tonight. Dale, final thoughts, my friend?
Well, final thoughts is we keep coming to the airwaves and talking about the real media, the real news that nobody else will talk about. And it's one of those things that people have got to get active. And I'm not one of those folks that is naive to think that the sheeple of America are actually going to throw the bums out of office. Hell, I'm still kind of trying to get my head around the fact that now we have a big term limits movement. So you can't get the people to get off their ass to throw out the politicians, but you think the politicians are going to throw themselves out. You got to stand up to these people and, you got to be your own. You got to be your own politician. These people aren't our elected leaders because I didn't sign an agreement for them to be my leader. So it's time for you to say death to the New World Order, metaphorically speaking, of course.
Yeah, you got to throw that out there now, man, because you know we're being listened to. The guy trying to impersonate me, My View Matters, just tried to sign into the chat room again. So I got the message, guys. I know you're watching. I don't really care. you know, but to get on with the things as they are, we've got Benghazi, We know that there's serious lies and a serious cover-up going there designed to protect the president and Hillary Clinton. We've got the IRS scandal going all the way up to IRS Commissioner Doug Shulman, who has all the responsibility here. We know that he talked with Valerie Jarrett. I don't think there's any doubt about that whatsoever, in my opinion, and that's being covered up. Then we've got the wiretaps of reporters, the message being your First Amendment rights don't matter anymore. We're going to shut down your right to speak freely. Okay, so we're sending all this stuff out, and, of course, the Department of Homeland Security out there intimidating IRS protesters. And the list goes on and on and on, folks. The reality is this. The Democratic Party has become so corrupt, it went so far down the road to fascism, that we can no longer trust any of them. Our problem is the Republican Party has acquiesced for so long and been content to sit there and let them get this free ride so that they can every now and then jump in and take some power for themselves. We can't trust them either. Long live the Uniparty. That's essentially the mantra today. We have got to take control of our lives ourselves. We take control of our lives ourselves by getting involved and stopping the madness. And when you stop the madness, that simply means elect new people to office. Start demanding accountability. The fact that we're having a discussion over so many scandals in this administration should tell you how serious we the people are to get accountability from our elected leaders. Today we're not. Today we're not. It's time to wake up, America. Start calling your legislators, holding them accountable. Send them emails so they can't lie and say, well, we never got a phone call or anything about this situation. Because emails are time and date stamped. Send them. Do whatever it takes to contact them. Send them a registered or a certified letter. You get a signed card back to you saying that somebody signed for this. You have proof that they were contacted. They can't lie about that. But whatever it takes, get control. Take control. This is our government. We should never fear our government. Our government should fear us. That's what we were taught by Benjamin Franklin many, many years ago. We've lost that lesson. Stand up, be recognized, get involved, make a difference. That's it for tonight. Dale, anything tomorrow night, man?
Yeah, we're planning to bring on a guest of ours. I think it'll be his third appearance on our mini variations of the TNT show, and it's Chris from No More Cages. His website is nomorecages.com, and he's going to come on, and we're going to talk about the stuff that the left and right mainstream media won't talk about. We're going to talk about the latest on Adam Kokesh, story we've been following there, and we're also going to talk about the arrest of gun manufacturers on American soil, and major political party dirty tricks.
Jesus, man. That sounds like a damn good show. You folks, make sure you tune in tomorrow night at 7 o'clock for TNT Thursday Night Truth with our good friend Dale the Truth. And don't forget Sunday night at 7 with our good friend Ken Molman and his Liberty Unbridled show. That's it for tonight. You folks have a great one, and we will see you tomorrow night at 7. Take care. God bless.